Old Testament reading for this evening comes from Isaiah chapter 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me, hear that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast love, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for all the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion to him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. O Lord, have mercy on us. Our epistle reading for this evening comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the third chapter. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God, and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever I gained, I had. I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. O Lord, have mercy on us. We rise in honor of our gospel reading. Our gospel reading for this evening comes from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, and this will be the text for my message this evening. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. O Lord, have mercy on us. We continue with our Lent responsory. Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation. Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord my God. Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me. Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation. Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, What is a treasure? To me, a treasure is something that you value, something that you don't want to give away or ever lose, something that you're willing to make a sacrifice for. And as I think back to my life, I realize there's been a few different things that I have treasured, and they just change as I've grown older. I think back to when I was 4, 5 years old. One of my greatest treasures was my Brio train set. I just loved that train set. I would play with it, set it all up in the living room, and then put it back in its box. And thankfully, my parents taught me that I need to take good care of it. And that's why still to this day, 24 years later, whatever it is, it's still in mint condition in its original packaging back somewhere at my parents' house. I treasure it so much that even when my nephew would come to my parents' house, I wouldn't let him even touch it because I didn't want him to ruin it because it was my Brio. But then, as I got older, you know, other things became my treasure. One of those was when I was 16, and that was my very first car. And this was the year 2000, and it was my 1991 Chevy Cavalier. I just loved that car, even though there's really nothing fancy about it. It was a two-door gray car that was affectionately known as the Gray Battleship by myself and my brothers. And no automatic windows. Thankfully, I have long enough arms that I could reach over and roll down the windows. It had no air conditioning, and that's still why, to this day, even in the current car I have, I really don't use the air conditioning all too much because I got so used to driving in that car for 7 years without air that I really didn't feel I needed it anymore. But it was a sad day in 2007 when I traded that in for the car that I have now, because I still love that 1991 Cavalier, even though it was nothing fancy. But as we see, our treasures change over our lives, but the fact remains, it's still something we value and something we love. In our text for this evening, we heard about a man who found this treasure in a field, and he hid it, and he went away, and he sold everything he had so he could buy that treasure. And there's a couple of different interpretations of this parable. The first, which I think is the more common, is that we are that man in that parable that sells everything, and we get that treasure, which is Christ, which Christ is a treasure for us. But there's another way we can look at this parable, and this is the way I truly love reading this parable, and that is that Christ is that man in the parable who gave up everything to purchase his treasure, and we are that treasure that he purchases. And that's how we're going to look at this parable this evening, that Christ gave up everything, and that is his life, to purchase his treasure, you and me. Because at the heart of this parable, we see that we are valuable in Christ's eyes, that we are special to our Heavenly Father. And I think that's a message that we can all benefit from hearing, because as we know, there's times in our lives where we don't feel like a treasure. We feel less than valuable. And sometimes that can hurt when we feel that we aren't being valued. Now, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, Pastor Meyer and me go up the street and we play basketball during our lunch hour. And usually Pastor Meyer is the one who picks the teams, because he's usually the oldest one there, so he's the one who picks the teams. And a lot of times it always goes in his favor, where he makes sure he has the best guy on his team. And, you know, I'm an okay basketball player, I think. And there's times where Pastor originally has me on his team, and then before we even play the first game, somebody else shows up, and I get traded to the other team. And then there's times where I get traded two times before we even play a game. I don't think Pastor Meyer really values my basketball skills. I mean, I think I'm pretty good sometimes. You know, I joke with him, and kind of seriously, I'm expecting that day when I come into the church and he calls me into his office and he's like, "So, you know, we're trading you to another church for a pastor to be named later and cash considerations." Or maybe the cash considerations are going to go with me to that said church I'm getting traded to. I'm just waiting for that to happen one day. I don't know if it will, but it feels that way when we play basketball, that he's just going to trade me one day. But in all seriousness, we know there's times when we don't feel very valued in our lives. Maybe it's at the workplace where you put in all that hard work yet nobody seems to notice. Your boss, your coworkers, nobody notices those long, hard hours you put in. You don't even get a good job. Or maybe it's in the school where maybe you didn't feel valued because you tried your hardest and the best you could get were B's and C's. But nobody ever commended or said, way to go, way to put that effort forth. And you don't feel valued because you just don't feel that your grades were ever good enough. Or maybe it comes at the house where you're the one who does all the work, the cooking, the laundry, and my probably least favorite thing, the dishes. And nobody around the house says, thank you, or good job, or I really appreciate what you've done around the house. And it's easy to feel undervalued in our lives and in the world today. Even though we feel that way sometimes, we know that Christ values us. But Christ wouldn't have gone to the cross if he didn't view you as that treasure that he values, something that he loves. He went to the cross because he wants you to have that eternal life in heaven with him. He values your life because he doesn't want you to suffer for all eternity in hell. He sacrificed his body and his blood so that you wouldn't have to face that fate, but instead you would spend all eternity in the presence of God, free from the pain and the suffering of this world. No matter how undervalued you might feel in your life, know that Christ values you greatly. And all you need to do for that, as a reminder, is go to the cross. Because it's there on the cross you will see that Christ gave it his all. Because you are that treasure who he loves and who he values. And there's times, though, where we don't maybe feel loved. And that's the other part of a treasure. It's something that we love. Because as I talked about earlier with my Brio train set or my first car, those were things that I loved. Something I wouldn't trade anything for. And that's why they were my treasure. But in our lives, it is kind of easy at times to feel unloved. We hear people say hurtful and negative things to us. And we might tell them that it doesn't really affect us, doesn't really bother us, but deep down inside we know that it hurts and we feel unloved. And sometimes these hurtful, mean things can be said by us from our family members or friends. And with all this negativity, it's easy to feel unloved, and we don't know where to go. If we can't go to friends or family to feel that love, you just wonder, where do I go in these times? It's in those times of feeling unloved, you go to the cross. We go to the cross because it's there on the cross we are reminded of God's love, of Christ's love for us. We all know the gospel in a nutshell, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. It's comforting to hear that it says, for God so what? He loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And sometimes, though, we might say, well, it's the world. It's not talking about me when they say that. That's why I think it's valuable and important sometimes if we put our own name in that verse, where we put, for God so loved Donald, or put your name in there, that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And there we hear that God loves us. And what a comfort it is to know of God's love, that he would sacrifice his very own Son for us. And it's comforting to know that we have a Savior who would go to such great depths to show us his love, to die on the cross. There's no other reason that he went through that except for his great love. No matter what the circumstances are that you're going through, you always have a Heavenly Father and a Lord and Savior who loves you and treasures you. But maybe there's those times where you're like, you know, I understand that God loves me, but I don't feel I deserve God's love. And I'm just not feeling that God should love me. I mean, I'm a pretty bad person. And that's what the devil enjoys telling us, that God wouldn't forgive us, that there's no way God could forget what we have done. And when we do that, the devil loves when we start to think, you know what? That's right. God couldn't love me. There's no way God could forgive me for what I've done. And when we do that, we beat ourselves up and we think, I'm such a horrible person. There's no way I could even step foot into a church, because if I do, people are just going to look at me and judge me. They know what I've done wrong, and they're just going to look and look down upon me, and I'm going to feel bad and think, you know what? I shouldn't be here. God's word of forgiveness isn't for me. And this is what the devil wants for us. The devil doesn't want us to step foot into God's house. In fact, the devil hates when we come into God's house for worship, because he doesn't want us to hear the news that is being preached in the pulpit at a church. It's in this sanctuary, a place that protects, that we hear the truth that we are treasured by Christ. And despite our flaws, he still loves us. It's in the sanctuary we are protected from the lies that the devil spews to us that we couldn't be here. It's in the sanctuary that we hear God's forgiveness being proclaimed. We hear that our sins have been wiped clean. And Jesus didn't make any stipulation who deserves his love. He didn't say, if you're this tall or this old or this young or you look this way, you have this certain hairstyle. He doesn't make those stipulations. His sacrifice is for anybody who trusts and believes in him as his Lord and Savior. And trust me, the devil doesn't want us to hear that our sins are forgiven. It's here in God's house we are reminded that we are a treasure to a God who loves us. It's during this time of Lent when we focus on the journey that Christ made to the cross. And it's a journey that he suffered many horrible things. And to me, it's a journey that the sacrifice he makes is what the parable of the hidden treasure is all about. It's about a man who was willing to give up everything in order to purchase his treasure. Jesus gave it all up, namely his life on that cross, on that very first Good Friday. And it's with that we see that we are purchased by Christ. We are Christ's treasures. And so just as Jesus made that journey to the cross, we too make that journey to the cross. And as we stand at the foot of the cross, we are reminded when we see that we are God's treasures. It's at the foot of the cross we see how much Christ values us. It's there at the cross. We're reminded of the love that Christ has for us. It's at the foot of the cross we see the price that Christ paid for our sins, that he would sacrifice his body and his blood for all the sins that we have ever committed or all the sins that we ever would commit. He did that because we are his treasure, and we are Heavenly Father's treasures. And because of that, one day we will spend all eternity with them, free from the pain and suffering of this world. Amen.